I was promoting our chat with Tim a little earlier this afternoon. I said he wrote a very interesting article today in the Sydney Morning Herald. And one of the paragraphs, he says, Trump has been routinely condemned for his doom-mongering, his depiction of American carnage, his embrace of a darkness lurking within the American soul. But results so far are actually quite the opposite. Trump has prospered with his boundless optimism. I've got to say, whatever you say about Donald Trump, whether you like him or whether you don't like him, he certainly is the absolute optimist. Tim Lynch, thank you for your time this afternoon, and I really enjoyed reading your story.
You're very welcome, Brent. It's great to be here.
I've got to say to you that you started by saying win or lose this election is the story of a COVID survivor. Trump, you're calling a COVID survivor. I mean, there were so many people saying, I've even had people say on the program this afternoon, that if it wasn't for COVID, Trump would have romped it home. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yes, it's hard always to run a counterfactual, but I think in the absence of the pandemic, he was very well set up to win. And as this result yesterday and through today has shown, Brent, that it was so close. The only thing that really could account for it is the pandemic. So I think he was remade in some ways by his experience of getting the disease, but it wasn't enough to compensate for the general climate that COVID created.
There was once someone that said, the world, or man's greatest advancements in time, are as a direct result of difficult men. Man's greatest advancements in time are as a direct result of difficult men. Would you say Donald Trump could be described as a difficult man?
Oh, for sure, yes. I think the fact that he inspires such hatred and such adoration speaks to how remarkable a political figure he is and will be when it comes to recording the history of the last 4 years. It's not milquetoast men and women that make history. It's leaders, it's controversialists, it's revolutionaries. Now, I'm not claiming that Trump is all of these things, but he represents something remarkable in American politics. So, in my 50 years on Earth, I've not encountered anything quite like him as a force of nature in terms of his cultural and political appeal. Not Reagan, not Thatcher. I can remember Margaret Thatcher. Not Barack Obama. So yes, I agree.
Do you feel history will be win lose or draw with Donald Trump going back to the White House? Do you feel that history will be kind to Donald Trump's presidency?
It couldn't be any worse than the contemporary account. At least I don't think it could. There is no president in living memory who has been so reviled, so loathed by an establishment media and broader establishment, the universities, the coasts, the deep state, as Trump would call it. So he was facing a considerable challenge to prosper at all. And the fact that he did and nearly got elected a second time, I think when the history gets written, he'll get some credit for that. That's not to defend everything he's done, or indeed anything that he's done, but in terms of his power to transform American politics, I think history will be obliged, Brent, to take him much more seriously than commentators of the present day have been able to.
As you and I talk this afternoon, it's looking very much like Joe Biden will limp over the line, literally. And but who knows? I keep saying this afternoon, really at the moment, the only people that are going to win are the lawyers, as both sides have to lawyer up.
Yes, I don't see any viable electoral path. I mean, mathematically, it's possible, but I mean, it would have something remarkable would have to happen, and it's not going to. And then he'll try the legal route. There is no legal mechanism which would enable him to hang on to power in with clear evidence that he's lost an election. The ballots have to be counted. There's no tenable way that he can get around that, no matter how much he spends on lawyers. So I think we have seen a remarkable 4 years, but we're in the last 2 months of it, and he will leave office, as all the 44 men that have held the office before leave on an appointed hour without the need for for the military to drag them out of the Oval Office. And I expect him to be normal in that respect, in the manner of his passing. Doesn't mean the next 2 months won't be dramatic and contentious, but I think ultimately, Brent, he will leave office.
Tim, do you think he will leave office, he would leave office, and be remembered in a much more positive way if he just accepted the result of the umpire?
Well, this, I think that's a very good question. And Trump, those that have tried to defend Trump are always looking for some moment when he treats, he encounters an event with magnanimity, and he says, look, I was wrong, or I think for the good of the country, I must step back. And every time you make that expectation of him, he defies it. And to his credit, not defending this, but I think it needs to be observed, he's maintained a degree of authenticity, a consistency in terms of his approach, which has led to a 4-year presidential term. There aren't many men and women that get that far in life, relatively or absolutely. So, yes, I think there's something that stayed. There's something about Trump which has endured and has not been adapted or corrupted by Washington.
His comment, you know, I've done more in 47 months than you've done in 47 years, his comment to Biden. In many ways, that comment's very, very true. He has achieved a lot in the last 47 months.
Yes, being president does give you that capacity. And in some ways, Joe Biden is the archetypal Washington swamp politician that hangs around the system for half a century without achieving very much. He's in it for what he can get out of it. And Trump, and it's a plausible claim that had an appeal, was, put me in power and I will diminish the power of these men that have done nothing for you. For the men and women that dig the coal and drive the tractors and build the cars. The forgotten men and women of the United States. Now, I don't endorse that position, but I think it needs to be factored into an assessment. He's had this ability, Brent, to speak for people that both parties, including Joe Biden's, that should represent the worker, forgot.
Very true. Let me ask you this. We're just, you know, crystal balling here. All right. Joe Biden takes the oath on the 20th of January as the, 46th? Yeah, 46th President of the United States. How long do you see him actually in that role before his vice president takes over?
Well, it's very hard. I mean, this is he may have cognitively peaked some time ago, but one cognitive function is not a requirement of the office. He may be unable to perform, but I don't see him being unfit to perform. So his removal doesn't seem likely unless he gets seriously ill. We're still in a moment of pandemic crisis and he's in the most vulnerable group. But usually not many men die naturally in office. There's only been a couple, mostly removed through assassination, very tragically. And he's also, he will be the one man in the world that gets better health care than anyone.
True.
My suspicion is that he will go on, but who knows what the vicissitudes of life will throw at him.
Can you see Trump running again in another 4 years?
Very interesting speculation that. It's highly unusual for that to happen, but then he is a highly unusual candidate. You've got to go back to the late 19th century to find a man that won, lost, and won again. But he's possibly young enough. He'll only be a little bit older than Biden is now in 2024. And who knows? I mean, a politician that commands that much loyalty doesn't disappear from the stage easily. And he's got an ego and an ambition, and perhaps he'll be able to say, I'll do it better next time. So I wouldn't count him out. I don't think he will, but I wouldn't count him out.
It's just, I feel so sorry for Americans at the moment. I mean, here are people in retail areas with the threat of violence boarding up their shops. Insurance companies are saying, if you don't hoard, you know, board up your shop windows, we won't pay out any claims if it's done as a result of damage here.
Yes, it is a remarkable state of affairs. The United States, of course, is born in protest. I mean, protest is part of its very fabric. I mean, that's not to excuse, you know, the elements which are engaging in the violence. But it's not unusual in American history to see this and to see obvious dislocations in in cities. I think we're at a particular moment, but not a unique moment in that style of conflict. I'd rather it be resolved, but equally, to come back to your previous question, where there is no turmoil, there is no liberty. That's what freedom is. It's messy and complicated and occasionally violent. Always has been and always will be.
Very true, very true. I've enjoyed our chat. Thank you for making yourself available this afternoon. And again, congratulations on your article.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks, Brent. Take care.
Thanks, Tim. Okay, you too. Bye-bye. That's Tim Lynch.